flung into the day, why oughta storm my gristle formed dung into the shirt doused bed where socks loom my fizzled norm sung inside the dirt
house. This is John M. Bennett and you are listening to CITR FM 101.9 in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Room, my ray, my osteo floor, my glistened shorn mug flayed.
Whoa, there it goes. Microphone popping up at me. Hi, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM broadcasting live from Vancouver, UBC. And this is Cue It Up. Again, we are broadcasting live from Vancouver, UBC, unceded traditional Coast Salish, Musqueam territory. And we just heard an episode of Canada Land filling in for our nationally syndicated program, Canada Land, not ours, but playing on our station nonetheless, filling in for The Extra Environmentalist, which you can ordinarily hear on 2 to 3 p.m. on Wednesdays, and I recommend that you do. We're going to be playing a lot of music on today's show, trying to skip over the usual preamble about broad, non-specific, vaguely homogenous thematic motifs and aims and goals, and we're just going to get right into it because we've got a lot to play. Right now you're hearing The Hollowed Receiver from Valero Tricol's upcoming album, Clonic Earth. That's releasing on Pan Records. There's quite a lot of a mission statement on this particular track, which opens the album. And we'll get into that maybe halfway through, maybe promptly afterwards. Sometime, one or another. Should say it's a lovely day outside if you're getting to enjoy this weather. Oh, that's a really blessed thing. And it's a really odd sensation having that, you know, in the fish tank, having that in close proximity right outside the windows, because it's extremely cold in the studio right now. It's frigid. I'm going to go get myself a second layer and sort of look the outside in this wholly detached and, you know, recycled air facility tank. And then maybe I'll have put myself together in a more apt manner. But yeah, you're listening to CITR. Stay tuned and talk to you soon. again, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting live from Vancouver, UBC, on unceded Coast Salish, Musqueam land. And we just heard Valero Tricoli's The Hollowed Receiver, the upcoming album, Clonic Earth. I'm going to put on a bit something right now. This is Andrew Nolan's We Know Now What a Modern Society Can Do with a Parking Lot. Andrew Nolan, working out of Toronto, Montreal. And I put these two tracks together because there's sort of a similar aura or agent movement of resistance in each, bristling outwards. When we listen to Valerio Tricoli's tape, the Pan put forth this document, which is an interesting read, of his work, of this upcoming album, which we just heard a piece from. Themes of the internal, represented both by the psychological and the physical, and of the occult, which with the use of spoken text makes them often deeply existential works, self-investigations of the psychological, emotional, and irrational horror within. Furthermore, Tricoli's allegorical and philosophical universe takes the form of an unhinged mind's landscape swarming with the strange sound objects and sometimes reminiscent, in the complexity of details and surrealistic effects of Hieronymus Bosch's larger paintings. Compared to his previous works, the content of Clonic Earth explores more synthesized and heavily processed sounds, especially vocals, often appearing in the form of a religious, electrified chanting. I guess it's always just interesting to think about what sound is being projected from out of our station, how we stand as a sort of tangent, parallel path to the rise of satellite radio, extreme cleanliness and austerity in sonic production. Sorry, not austerity, but a definite like professional militancy. And in Valerio Tricoli's work, especially the use of vocals, chanting coming in, re-recorded, mutated, there's a lingering human. It's like the refuse of something else that came before. And when you listen to a lot of professional recording, you don't hear that refuse. And in Tricoli's work, it becomes a world in and of itself. I'm playing this next track because I thought it was reminiscent of this. Again, it was Andrew Nolan's We Now Know What a Modern Society Can Do with a Parking Lot, which he attributes to a Guy Debord writing about the assassination of Gerard Lebovici. Now, this is particularly pertinent to the now and that, and now and today, because of course, everyone knows Pokemon Go, taking the world by storm, immensely popular, and with this, Guy Debord, founder of the Situationists in France, the Marxist school of philosophy, Situationism, has come to the forefront of this discussion time and time again. Proponents of Pokemon Go talk about how it is the very example of Situationist game think to make life itself into a game which supersedes the confines of the everyday. That it is that very instance of what he was describing, and in a sense, something revolutionary in an urban sense. At the same time, I'm going to encourage you to, if you are inclined to, I have no power over you whatsoever. You know, we're all friends here. I would like to encourage you to maybe listen to this really, truly stifling, droning track, and to really contemplate the Pokemon of Pokemon Go. What do they mean to us? Is it an explosion of the imaginary and superlative into the everyday? Or is it something maybe a bit more banal and rote? You hear about people now on their phones, traveling. In fact, I saw a blog post about this just the other day, about the 6 best cities in the world to visit to play Pokemon Go. Visit a city and then, you know, remain wholly within the self cycle of the user, the interface, user interface, feeding into itself. Because after all, we're all immensely curated now. We live incredibly curated lives through our phones. The type of Facebook or Twitter or social media you get is wholly contingent on what you already follow and who your friends are. You will never really truly have a conversation with someone who thinks differently than you within these confines. Okay, but now I'm rambling, and I do have more to say about this now that I finally discovered a theme for today's show. But let's just listen to some of this great music. This is Andrew Nolan's We Now Know What a Modern Society Can Do with a Parking Lot, released in February 2016. Hello. You just heard Andrew Nolan's We Know Now What a Modern Society Can Do with a Parking Lot. Now you are listening to Wolves of Heaven song Love is a God from Hell. Very dramatic title. But found those two tracks through the Survivalist blog. Individual who is involved with these various acts compiled on the blog on the Bandcamp. And what you're hearing now, Love is a God from Hell, constructed from four single notes played on a piano. Again, the idea of repetition, but breaking beyond that. And into something else entirely, and what remnants are left from routine and structure, and all those odd little artifacts, that refuse, that usually gets left behind unless you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM or other community radio stations. This is just full on. Hold on. Just get my real emotional appeal right now. Isn't it so important to be listening to community radio? CITR, CAGASF, Co-op Radio, UVic, Together, British Columbia. You know, the immediate municipalities of the Lower Mainland and Victoria, respectively. Anyway, we were just listening again to We Know What a Modern Society Can Do with a Parking Lot, and I think we were spinning off into some vague treatises on new media and augmented reality technologies and Pokemon Go. If you follow our CITR Instagram, that is CITR Thunderbird Radio on Instagram, you can follow us there. You'll see that recently our program director caught a Jigglypuff in the booth. Now this is an interesting thing for those of you who are in the know. Jigglypuff is the singing Pokemon. It lulls other creatures and individuals to sleep, often in a comic fashion, with its singing voice. And in the animated adaptation of the Pokemon games, it would often be frustrated that those who heard its song would fall asleep because of its magical properties, but it simply wanted to perform, and it was exceedingly frustrated that those who were listening would drift to sleep while listening. This is all to say that it was an interesting confluence, a neat coincidence, but it was just that. It was a coincidence. There was no logic or design to it. And I would suggest the arbitrary delegation of creatures in Pokemon Go is somewhat nefarious. You're thrust into this pure artifice of this ecosystem that does not exist, that does not appear to be hinged on any logic of these Disney sanitized creatures who don't appear to drink or eat or mate, yet they lay eggs. They all lay eggs. It's all very desexed. And they appear according to no particular evident configuration. Why is Jigglypuff a cave Pokemon inside this human building? This building built by and for humans. And, you know, you hear a lot of stories about this. You hear recently, for instance, many concentration camps, which now serve as museums, reference to that horrific period of human history, the Holocaust, are Pokemon stops, and they are sites for Pokemon Go pilgrims, you know, who happen to be in the area, not specific sites. But the fact is that the mapping technology used to determine where all the action is happening is biased in the wrong ways, because soon you'll have Pokestops operating out of McDonald's and, you know, other... I just think it'll be a funny thing one day to have a child walk into a military recruitment office. This is high Alex Jones level conspiracy theorization that you do not usually get on a normal episode of Cue It Up. So please stay with me. I hope you enjoy my hamming it up for the sake of emphasis. But yes, the young boy looking for his Squirtle, heading to this glowing Pokestop, and it is a military recruitment center. They put him in a drone. He is a robot soldier now. This is just a brief glimpse of the future that's going to bring about, but in a very real sense. Absolutely. What are the corporations involved? Who determines where value is ascribed? And furthermore, that inhuman mapping aspect of it that does accumulate data and does determine what spots will be Pokestops appears to have no consideration for cultural values for space as is. And in my opinion, as an intensely colonial and invasive dehumanization of space, ends with this on this note that I'd like to end this brief tirade. We can move into some ads, but first, this headline from CBC, Pokemon No Go. That's going to be the name of the show, by the way. You just got tuned in. Pokemon No Go. Pokemon No Go, indigenous woman wants burial ground Pokestop gone. Quote, this is sacred ground. There should not be any Pokemon Go inside a burial site. A traditional burial ground should be no go for Pokemon Go, so says a lately tenured woman who wants to shut down a Pokestop in an indigenous graveyard in Prince George, BC. Again, there's that element of mapping and the free use of space according to a colonial and dehumanizing eye that assumes that there is no prescribed value to space, that space is up for grabs, that if people tend to accumulate around a site or a monument, it should therefore be able to be fixed into a game where you catch creatures. And as you can see, I'm particularly upset because these creatures are, you know, they don't eat, and they don't drink, and they don't sweat or roll around in the dirt or have any affinity for group gatherings or particular traits. That's an entirely different thing. I might just be unsatisfied with the systems of that particular game. Anyhow, in the background now, you've been hearing Untitled Track 2 from Andrew Nolan's We Now Know What a Modern Society Can Do with a Parking Lot, and everything I found on this agglomeration of survivalist materials. Just look up survivalistdeathcult.bandcamp.com, and it's all been thoroughly excellent. There's great doom music on this Bandcamp. There's great drone. There's great field recordings. It's great corpus of stuff. I'm going to be playing more music, I think, according to this vague theme that the Pokemon No Go. Coming next, we're going to hear Demon City from Alicia Crampton and Rabbit. And, but just before that, we are going to hear some messages from some sponsors.
Exploratory music and sound, Tidal Signal, aims to highlight women, transgender, genderqueer, and intergender artists working in left-field genres. The inaugural Tidal Signal will feature an array of musics encompassing noise, ambient, electronic, drone, experimental techno, improvised, sound, and performance art.
The lineup features Kieran Bloomberg,
Laura Lowe, Sarah Gold plus Emily Thacker, Weiser, Sasha Mannequin, Brady Marks, Massey plus Marina, Mass Marriage, Opponent Processes, Cortana, and Prophecy Sun.
Evenings at Selectors Records in downtown Vancouver, July 30th and 31st.
And now, for our more dreadful sacrifice.
The music you're listening to is completely electronic.
Only a fool would ignore this.
I'd like to demonstrate for you some of the rather more weird kinds of sounds.
See how relaxed you're getting?
Every Sunday night at 7 o'clock here on CITR 101.9 FM is More Than Human, your weekly guide to all that is new, weird and wonderful in the world of electronic music. So please join me, Gareth Moses, for electronic music old and new, inane comments and the occasional sacrifice. More Than Human on CITR.
With summer encroaching, I, the sun, attain the height of my powers. Now I will pass solar judgment on this pitiful city. Forests, burn! Ocean, burn! Yoga Fest, burn! What's this? Discorder Magazine. Ooh. Ah.
Discorder July August Summer issue featuring articles on Leisha Sets, Tempest, Eileen Bryant, Gal Grayson, and an art feature by Puppy Teeth, plus much more. Find Discorder around Vancouver at cafes, venues, record stores, and online at discorder.ca. Special thanks to this month's advertisers, the Astoria Audio Pile, Davie Street Party, Don't Argue Pizzeria, Hastings Crossings BIA, Castellano Block Party, Live Van, Pressing Matters, Redgate, Reggae Fest, the Rickshaw Theater, the Rio Theater, Rifflandia, Shindig, Victory Square, Vinyl Records, and Zipcar. It's not getting any zippier than that.
This alone shall be saved, as will the rest.
We got a theory.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. We know how magnets work.
If magic is all we've ever known, then it's easy to miss what really goes on. But I've seen miracles in every way, and I see miracles every day.
So just to prove how much of a Luddite I was, I stormed out into the lobby during that little break. I made a grand declaration. I threw my phone on the ground. No Twitter, no Facebook, none of this. So Vine is like an art gallery. I'm cool with Vine. Vine is great. No. But, you know, it's interesting now. And, you know, augmented reality, there's no use going back to some imagined past. Augmented reality is clearly very popular, and it's here to stay. And I think instead of talking about how awful Pokemon Go is, because really it's just not a good game, and please, I wasted my high school playing the best games. So really my current state, I am your informant. I was in the dirt, so to say. It's not a good game. Play Tetris. Anyhow, but, you know, we obviously can't walk backwards from, you know, towards, again, some imagined past which never really existed to begin with. And instead of decrying augmented reality, maybe it's time to start thinking about the ways in which it could enunciate space and pay homage to cultural space and not just be this dehumanizing, colonizing force which has no care for what a space means or what a community is, or really just with no regard whatsoever arbitrarily puts, again, a Jigglypuff inside this building. Why and how? There's no explanation. A computer did it. Anyhow, in the interest of doing something contrary, or not doing something contrary, because please, I'm just a dude playing music inside of a radio station, in the interest of having something contrary played on the air, Alicia Crampton released American Drift, absolutely incredible experimental electronic album that came out last year, has a new album out, Demon City, with guests Chino Amobi, YB, Rabbit, Lexi, here on Break World Records. A statement: ongoing themes of spirituality and transformation have made Alicia's music resonate with audiences around the world. Navigating historical erasure, her work also explores the adoption of sonic dialects across the Americas and how they shape the way different communities hear not just sounds, but frequencies. In 2015, Alicia released her debut album, American Drift, to critical acclaim. Her upcoming sophomore release, Alicia Crampton Presents Demon City, is a narrative album that works as an epic poem existing as an official document of the Severo style. What is the Severo style? The Severo style is an ongoing process of becoming with, made possible by the family networks and communities that have inspired and sustained our survival and collective search for transformative justice. And I'm going to play the eponymous track, which is from Alicia Crampton and Rabbit of Triangle Records. He released an album last year. It was quite good. Producer from Austin, and also played at the Astoria, actually. It was a shame that I missed that, but nonetheless, you know, great guy. Alicia Crampton and Rabbit, great guy. What does that mean? Like, what am I trying to say when I say that? Nice dude. Alicia Crampton and Rabbit, The Demon City, is on Break World Records. The upcoming album, Alicia Crampton Presents Demon City. And take from it what you will, but with that in mind, what does this have to do with transformative justice? What does this have to do with acting against historical erasure? And, you know, is this the kind of creative junction and movement that is not a displacement of something that was there before, that does not simply hollow out a space so that you can put a Jigglypuff? But, like, it's beyond me. It really is.
DJ.
Darkest hour.
That was Alcia Crampton and Rabbits, The Demon City. You're now hearing USD, Uneasy Lies the Hand, and some Vancouver informants. On maybe, you know, tracking, and this is to put or presuppose some intention. So instead of saying or tracking some kind of emergent Vancouver experience of the city, rather just one of the experiences that comes from our city is here. USD, previously Nervous Operator, the song Uneasy Lies the Hand. After this, we're going to hear Sigma Flare 2, or the album Sigma Flare 2, the track 151 from Chambers, which is a bit more explicit and how it is attempting to mine the contours of our particular geographical situation. you have been listening to Cue It Up on CITR 101.9 FM. Right now we're hearing Uneasy Lies the Hand from USD. Coming up next at 4 p.m., you'll be hearing Asian Wave 101, Steve Zhang, the newest in Chinese and Korean pop music. We're going to take a bit of a detour. I realize I played Chambers quite recently. For those who follow the show, we played Chambers quite recently. So we're going to play some Alexander Spence, the track Submerge. Submerge is a composition inspired by the lights, noises, and allure of Port Metro Vancouver. I see nightly from the windows of my studio. It weaves field recordings of water meters and parking meters from East Hastings. A composition for strings that features Lisa Palandi on violin, Timo Vikovov on cello. This work is developed and designed to be an immersive, continuous loop. Alexandra Spence, one of the organizers of new festival Tidal Signal, Experimental Music, one of my favorites, Mass Marriage, will be playing. Brady Marks, Massey, Arcana, Prophecy Sun, more that are not coming to mind, but again, Tidal Signal will be happening at Selectors Records this weekend. And again, for another specifically, geographically, of our place, have Submerge from Alexander Spence. Concluding what was rather ordinary, but also hopefully pleasant and enjoyable episode of Cue It Up. Gonna stack up my papers, get ready to leave the studio. We'll leave you with Submerge. We'll be back next week in the studio, 3 to 4 p.m. to hear more from, go to CITR.ca and look up Cue It Up if you want to hear old podcasts, or, you know, just listen live, why not? And again, usually before my show, you'll hear The Extra Environmentalist, just some shout-outs right now. Extra Environmentalist, great program, 2 to 3 p.m. Wednesdays. After my show, great program, Steve Zhang's Asian Wave 101, 4 to 5 p.m. I'll be with you soon. Wait, hold on, what does that mean? Sorry, tune in again next week. Goodbye, this is fun. Ciao.